The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you guys are headed home with us this afternoon. In studio with us is Mark Stringer, and he is the new executive director at the Iowa ACLU. And we're going to talk a little bit about business. We're going to talk about civil liberties, put those two things together, and all a bit about Mark himself. Mark, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to have you here.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Let's tell folks about you. How long have you been in this position now?
Well, I started full-time in July.
Yeah.
Had a couple months of part-time before that as I finished up my previous employment. I worked for 16 years as the senior minister of the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. So I've been here in central Iowa since 2001.
Good, very nice. And the Unitarian Church has a history of human rights issues. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say. One of the core precepts of Unitarian Universalist religion is the inherent worth and dignity of all people. And so a lot of the stances that we take are really affirming the core human values that we share with people of all faith traditions. You know, Unitarian Universalism is a non-dogmatic faith. It's creedless. It doesn't expect that people will subscribe to a certain set of maxims or beliefs. But we do have principles that we follow, and many of those follow kind of core democratic principles.
And, you know, what's interesting about that, many of the founding fathers were Universalist Unitarians.
That's true.
And so it all
and founding of, mothers too.
And founding mothers, yeah. Thank you for the equality mention.
You bet.
And I think that surprises some people. You know, when because we tend to in our history, in our remembering, view these individuals as very faithful people of something, and they were, but they were more concerned, I think, about the here and now than the hereafter.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think that's, in fact, one of the things that Unitarian Universalists like to say about our faith, that we think that heaven is what we create here on earth. And that's really how we try to live our values. And I think these are the values that I take into my new work. I think in some ways you could say Unitarian Universalism is like the ACLU of religion.
There you go. We're talking with Mark Stringer, ladies and gentlemen, the new executive director for the Iowa ACLU. Iowa, one of many states, has been very busy here of late with civil liberties. What kinds of civil liberties do you attempt to protect and lift up?
Well, the ACLU of Iowa for since 1935 really has been working to protect the constitutional rights and liberties of all Iowans. We stand up for the constitutional rights of all people, no matter their ideology, no matter their background.
And that also surprises people because there have been some cases nationally that the ACLU has taken on that have been protecting the rights of people that you would think, well, wait a minute, what are you doing with those guys? Those guys, because they're different, right?
Well, yeah, I think it's really, we really rely on principle. And the principle is you can't protect and preserve constitutional rights for some people. You have to protect them for all. And by doing that, you protect the rights and views of those that you actually want to promote.
Right. My very good friend Desmond Adams has a saying, and I always go back to that. He says, you know, the flattest pancake has two sides. And that's so very true. If we can come to some kind of an understanding, we can start to work to a successful conclusion of whatever those issues are. When you're working with the ACLU, what top of mind things are you dealing with right now?
Well, some of the most recent cases that we've taken on are, I think, really pivotal for where we are in our culture right now. One of those is protecting the rights of transgender people. In this current political and cultural climate, transgender folk are targets of discrimination at an alarming rate. And I think most of that is driven by ignorance and fear. So we really look to remind people that transgender people should have the same rights that others do. And sadly, that hasn't been the case in our state. We've been arguing for the right to access to health care for transgender Iowans, as well as access to the facilities, bathroom, locker room, in one case that our client was denied access to. Other things that we're working on include thinking about how to navigate the new voter ID law. We are concerned about any kind of infringements on voting rights, and we are concerned that the new voter ID law, particularly the administrative rules that will actually make the law real, are confusing. And so Monday, there's a public hearing in Des Moines to give oral comment on these rules. And so we're going to be there, and we encourage other people who care about voting rights to show up and stand with us as we make sure that all the voting rights are protected for Iowans.
And one of those things that I found interesting, and I got your press release today, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, so this was very timely. And not only is the ACLU of Iowa going to be taking part in this and concerns, NAACP, League of Women Voters, League of United Latin Americans, LULAC, Disability Rights Iowa, One Iowa Action, Interfaith Alliance of Iowa, Iowa Developmental Disabilities Council, going to be presenting comments on this. The rules that I've seen mm-hmm. and the rules that we've talked about are confusing for people. And, you know, what works as far as an ID? What should I do? And it's not done yet.
No, until the rules are finalized, we're not even sure how to advocate on behalf of voting rights. So we're anxious to see those finalized so that we can determine what our next steps will be.
One of the other things that you are very busy on, and I've seen this firsthand, as a matter of fact, is free speech opportunities.
Yeah.
To have petition against government, whatever, or for government, or however that works. There was a case, I think, in eastern Iowa not very long ago, and one right here in the metro not very long ago, that mm-hmm. dealt with individuals, citizens of communities, and their right to go ahead and say things about government.
Right.
It's stunning to me sometimes that cities or counties or municipal whatever can think that they have a lock on telling people what they can or cannot say.
Well, protecting free speech rights and the right to petition government has been part of the foundation of the ACLU throughout its history, and we don't expect to be backing off on those fights anytime soon.
Mark Stringer, ladies and gentlemen, is in studio with us. We're talking about the Iowa ACLU, his new job, as a matter of fact, there. When we come into business, Iowa's in a right-to-work state, and which means that people can be fired for no reason whatsoever, don't have to necessarily have a reason. But for the most part, do citizens, do they leave their rights or their civil rights at the door when they enter a workforce?
Certainly not. There may be businesses may have a right to have someone no longer work for them, but they're still core civil liberties and civil rights that have to be taken into account in any of those interactions, any of those changes in employment.
And I would suspect, I mean, there are certain things that you can and you can't do, and they might be included in an employee handbook for, okay, we don't condone this type of behavior or this type of speech or in our workplace. But if that employee is outside of the workplace being called to task for a particular stand in their civil rights, probably isn't accurate, shouldn't happen, right?
Could you clarify the question?
Sure. Let's say that an individual works for a company out there and they get very involved in some sort of political effort that the business owner detests, okay, and says, and they become maybe the vice president of an organization that is in direct conflict with the owner of the business's views. To take that employee and then have a problem with that and then discipline that employee because of what they're doing off-site, that could become problematic, I would think.
Well, I think it all depends on the circumstance. Certainly, there are times when an employer may have an existing policy that prohibits certain kinds of speech outside the workplace. There could be times when the employee's public persona would be damaged by certain views being espoused in public in a way that's not careful, certainly not thoughtful. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it really depends on the
individual circumstance.
I think so. I mean, it'd be hard for me to speak, about something I don't have all the details for.
But. Absolutely. Mark Stringer, ladies and gentlemen, with the Iowa ACLU. What would people be surprised about with regard to some cases that you do take or that you don't take? And who makes that determination as far as what cases move forward?
Well, we have a legal committee that's comprised of lawyers and our legal director. And they, by policy, have to vet the decisions that we make, the cases that we choose. We consider every case on an individual basis. And it really just depends on the dynamics of the case. Will the case, does it have a possibility of setting a precedent that would further constitutional rights and liberties? That would be something that would lift a case up to the top. We try to have impact legislation or litigation, So, you know, that has a lot to do with the cases that we take and what our current bandwidth is, what we're currently working on. Well, we certainly don't want to take a case where we might set bad precedent if we lose. That's not in anybody's best interest. So we have to take all that stuff into consideration. It's complicated.
I'm sure that you do. And individuals who feel they are wronged one way or the other, I'm sure turn to you and say, hey, what about this? And then you take a look at those cases on an individual basis and decide, got it.
Yeah.
How far are you willing to go when it comes to protecting rights? I mean, we go through the court system. How does that work? That's the question. Where do you start? Do you start with a letter to the offending party and say, could you do these things and let's make this go away? Or how does all this work?
Well, I'm new to the ACLU. I'm not a lawyer, but I've had a good time observing our legal team and how they work. And I think, again, it just depends on the case. A lot of times a demand letter is sent. You know, we're not anxious to take things to court necessarily. It just depends on the case. We want a resolution that preserves and protects civil liberties. And that's really what it all comes down to.
Yeah. We are talking with Mark Stringer, ladies and gentlemen. He is with the Iowa ACLU. How do you get funded?
Almost entirely through private donations, the public. We don't receive any government support, certainly.
I wouldn't imagine.
No. It's our.
So this is kind of like being back in church.
Well, definitely. Actually, you know, asking people to give to the ACLU is a lot like asking them to give to their faith community, in part because we're asking them to give according to their values and their ethics and their morals. And we think civil liberties, civil rights, these are moral and ethical issues of our time. So it's very similar.
And there's the National ACLU.
That's correct. We are an affiliate of the national organization.
And are all states have a local ACLU?
Every state has an affiliate. Some states have more than one, depending on the size of the state. And I believe Puerto Rico does as well.
That would be good.
Yeah, especially right now.
All kinds of things to consider. You know, one of the other issues, and I want to just get your feeling on this. Many people, I think, have an adverse opinion of the ACLU. And I'm not sure exactly why that is, but you talk to people and say, oh, those guys are a bunch of, you know, left-wing crazy people down there. Why is that, do you think?
That's a great question. I think a lot of times even our supporters aren't happy with us, depending on the position that we take on a given issue.
Sure.
You know, because I think, again, it's that principle thing. If you're going to act on principle, sometimes you're going to have to stand up for things that we may find odious. But nonetheless, there needs to be somebody standing up. And I think that can be off-putting sometimes. But we are a nonpartisan organization, always have been. So we'll go after anybody, and we'll also protect the rights of anybody. It all kind of goes hand in hand. And I think that's why our supporters value us, is because we are willing to stand on principle. And in this day and age, that's hard to find.
It truly is hard to find, and it's getting more confusing every single day. Mark Stringer, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in and doing this. I really do appreciate it, and welcome to your new career path.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to all that we're going to do together in Iowa for our civil liberties. Thanks a lot.
It should be good stuff. All right. We've got to step aside. Why? Well, it's time to check out what happened today on Wall Street. What happened with the markets and why? We'll tell all when we come back. This is the Thursday edition of the Business News Hour.